Twigleg would have loved to nip her furry fingers, but he controlled himself, and he didn't so much as poke the tip of his nose out of his hiding place.
"Perhaps it was just the fact that he's a homunculus you didn't like, Sorrel," said Professor Greenbloom. "Such creatures are seldom popular with beings born naturally. In fact, they seem sinister to most people. So a homunculus like Twigleg often feels very lonely and rejected and clings to whomever made him. Although they do usually live much longer than their makers. Much, much longer."
Sorrel shook her head and closed her backpack. "One way or another," she said, "he smelled of bad luck, and that's all there is to it."
"She's stubborn as a mule," Ben whispered to the professor. "I'd noticed," Barnabas Greenbloom whispered back.
Then he went over to Firedrake and looked into his golden eyes once more. "All I have for you is this," he said, holding out his open hand to the dragon. A scale lay on his palm, gleaming, hard and cold, and golden. The dragon bent over it, curious. The professor placed another scale beside it. "I found these two scales many, many years ago in the Northern Alps," the professor explained. "Cows and sheep had been disappearing there, and the local people told horror stories of a terrible monster prowling down from the mountains by night. At the time, I'm afraid, I could find nothing but these scales, which look remarkably like your own, but feel entirely different. There were some tracks around, too, but they'd been blurred by the rain and the angry farmers who'd been milling around." In his hiding place, Twigleg pricked up his ears. Those scales could only have come from his master. Nettlebrand had lost three scales in the course of his life, and in spite of sending out all his ravens in search of them, he had never recovered any of them. He wasn't going to be at all pleased to hear that a human had found two of the precious scales.
The mannequin stuck his nose out of Ben's backpack to get a look at them, but the professor's hand was too far above his head for him to see anything.
"They have no scent," said Firedrake. "As if they were made of nothing, yet they feel as cold as ice."
"May I see them?" asked Ben, bending over the professor's hand. Twigleg was listening.
"You can hold them," said Professor Greenbloom. "Look at them closely. They're curious things."
Ben carefully took one of the scales from the professor's hand and ran a finger over its sharp edges. It did feel like metal, yet there was something else about it, too. "I believe they're made of false gold," the professor told him, "a metal used by alchemists in the Middle Ages when they were trying to make the real thing. They never succeeded, of course, but this must be alloyed with something else because that scale is very, very hard. Couldn't make the slightest scratch on it, even with a diamond cutter. Oh, well."
Barnabas Greenbloom shrugged his shoulders.
"Take one with you. You might unravel this mystery, too, on your travels. I've been carrying those scales around with me for so long now that I've given up hope."
"Shall I put it in with her things?" Ben asked the dragon. Firedrake nodded. Thoughtfully, he raised his head and he looked out to sea.
Sorrel scurried up onto the dragon's tail. Ben threw her the backpacks and she caught them and slung them over Firedrake's back.
"Here we go," she cried. "Who knows? Tomorrow morning, we might even land where we were meant to for a change." "The weather seems fair, Sorrel," said the professor, looking up at the sky.
Ben went over to him and shyly offered his hand. "Goodbye, Professor," he said. Professor Greenbloom took Ben's hand and pressed it hard.
"Goodbye, Ben," he said. "I really do hope we'll meet again. Oh, yes," he added, handing Ben a small card. "I almost forgot this. It's Ubaida's card. If you do visit her after you've stopped off to see the genie, give her my regards. And should you need more provisions or anything else, I'm sure she'll be happy to help you. If the village where she's working hasn't changed too much, then its people will still be waiting hopefully for the dragons to return. But you'd better make sure of that before Firedrake walks in on them."
Ben smiled and put the card away with his other treasures. Then he clambered up on Firedrake's back.
"You've still got my card too, I hope," said Professor Greenbloom.
Ben nodded.
"Best of luck then,"
cried the professor as Firedrake spread his wings. And think hard about the question you ask the genie. Beware of the basilisks. And write to tell me if you do find the dragons. Goodbye, called Ben, waving.
Then Firedrake rose into the air. The dragon circled once over the professor, breathed a blue flame out into the night as a farewell, and flew away.